Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We're supposed to have somebody on from the Australian Sovereignty Party today, but it's been notoriously difficult getting in touch with them. When you do the bulk of your shows via Skype, people have to know how to use Skype. And it's so ridiculously easy, it's not funny. But yet still people are... when they're doing really easy things that they don't understand, they think that's more complicated than it actually is, and they just can't get it done. But maybe that's not the case here. He just ain't here. I don't know who the hell he is or what is Skype doing. I've only had like 4 hours sleep, ladies and gentlemen. I did 7.5+ hours of radio yesterday, and it is all edited, uploaded, archived, both on YouTube and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. So if I'm a little bit messed around today, you know why. Feel like absolute ass. We were talking with the idea of just doing a rerun today and just letting everybody just, you know, deal with it so that I can have a bit of rest. But the thing is, I wouldn't have any rest anyway because I've got to go right out from under this to cover a protest. And right after the protest, I've got to film some dude who is actually being protested against. It's got, like the colorblind conference or something of that nature. John Atwill, I think, is, or Aston, I forget. He's coming up with this idea that we need to stop having two laws in New Zealand. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, there's this thing called the Treaty of Waitangi. And for a long, long, long time, the elite of the Māori, who are just being used by the elite of the banking industry, of course, just like all the rest of us, have been basically keeping money from the poor Māori, for one. There's the worst poverty rates ever seen, and making an awful lot for themselves in law fees and things like that. My girlfriend was telling me that a friend of theirs has shares in big forestry, but they never get a cent from it because the lawyers from the other elite take it all. You know, it's just, that's kind of part of the reason why we have such a racial clash in this country, is because you got one redneck element, says Māoris are all bums and basically just racist, and then you have a sovereignty and a logical element who says, look, the reason why they're all down in the dumps and absolutely economically and judicially discriminated against, like if you're 8 times more likely to go to jail for a non-violent offence if you're Māori rather than a Pākehā white guy, right? Something like 50% of the prisons are Māori, and they're only like 10, 14% of the population. They get discriminated against. Like, you get pulled over by the cops all the time. I mean, I was dropping these two Māori boys off to their home in South Auckland, and they were getting out of the car and then just leading in to tell me directions to get the hell out of South Auckland. And the cops pull up behind us. Whoop, whoop. Oh, what are you boys doing over here? It was just like, oh, you see a Māori leaning into a car with a white guy, and it was, oh, I know what's going on here. It must be a drug deal, huh? It's just like, well, mate, we were actually working our asses off doing activism and creating videos and business opportunities down at a marae. Thank you very much, freaking scumbags. Happens all the time. And that element's still there. And I don't know about how anybody else really feels about this, because there's a protest being held by Penny Bright outside this conference. And we've had Penny Bright on the show many times before. She's a self-styled professional protester and this kind of thing. And she's attempting to bring attention to this event In a negative way, John Ansel's colorblind party. Now, you just think about it. Brass tacks, if you were to oversimplify it, are you opposed to people's race not coming into legislation? Okay, so if you are of a particular race or creed or something of that nature, do you believe you should have laws that protect you or give you more than other people or something of that nature? This is essentially the argument. And I don't know where I stand on this, honestly, because not a couple of weeks ago, in fact, I only just downloaded the footage onto my computer last night. I was invited down to the Temple of the Four Winds with the Kingitanga, who are the Kingi meaning king, Tanga meaning bloodline kind of thing. So the Kingitanga bloodline, descendants and all of that stuff, the original legendary waka and Māori who first came here and settled here hundreds and hundreds of years ago or whatever, have kind of taken me under their wing and been the first media person to actually be allowed down there for kind of like the first time ever. And they were all the best, most choicest, happy, loving, sharing, caring, and conspiracy aware. Oh, that was what was surprised me most, is that they knew all about the New World Order. They knew all about the fluoride and the chemtrails and the military industrial complex and the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and John Key's Bankster Pass and all of that kind of stuff. Okay, but they didn't learn it from listening to this radio show. They learned it over decades and decades of hard-nosed experience. One of the guys, he came back from, Lewis, I think his name was, in a wheelchair now, Agent Orange, came back from Vietnam to find that he was dead. He had his death certificate and everything. And they took all his land while he was away fighting in Vietnam for the country. Yo, what's going on here? You steal the wealth off the real leaders, okay? And what came up most during this conversation, it was essentially a meeting to decide whether or not they were going to proceed with their plans to start openly in court and in public resisting the government and calling it for what it is, a corrupt puppetry institution that simply must be dismantled, not for themselves and not for their own benefit and not for anybody else either, but for those who are yet to be born yet. The only reason they're doing it, you know, they're all getting old now. Whatever they see right now doesn't seem to matter to them anymore because they've already seen a hell of a lot. And so the idea is to make a system where everybody is equal and caretakers of the land, to clean up all the rivers, to stop the illegal taxation, to stop the theft of people's children under child protection services, institutions like SIFs, to stop this massive... what's it called? This massive industry that's brought up about the Treaty of Waitangi. Because what's interesting is that you'll have many, many Māori who indeed believe the Treaty of Waitangi is the bee's knees because it gave them tino rangatiratanga over their whenua. What is that? What is tino? It's like tino. You ever had a wine? It's like Pinot, all right? Like tino, all right? And have you ever... wrung out your socks, all right? You know, when they're too wet and you just kind of squeeze them together, runga, all right? So it's tino, runga. And you ever cried a tear for somebody? And you ever kind of licked something with your tongue? So that's tirotanga. So it's tino, runga, tirotanga, all right? It means kind of sovereignty. Independence, etc. There's a lot of different associations with the word. Apparently, the translation wasn't very good. alleged to, by some people. But what's happened is they did exactly the same that they did to the Indian, the Native American population as well as the Native Canadian population. In fact, they did the exact same thing every colonist culture does. They lie, they cheat, they kill, and then they get everything. And you, the native people, are left with nothing. Nothing but alcoholism, poverty, and discrimination against by police. That freaking sucks, man. That's freaking evil. That Shiite Muslim is not cool. Uncalled for. Unscrupulous. How exactly does industry spring up about this? Well, here's how. You take the land off somebody, and then you have what they call a treaty grievance panel. And what we've got is around the, what did he tell me? I think, according to the Kingitanga, around 1950s, there was one kind of line of confederated chiefs and what have you. But these new families started coming in and marrying into them, and they started taking over all the family's business interests and took it off the people that they were supposed to be caretakers for, sold it to the crown, and kept the proceeds for themselves. And apparently they're the ones, not the original bloodlines, who are currently in control of Māoridom now, who are sucking their people dry just as much as they are everybody else's, like a parasite with lawyers and all of this other eclectic scumbaggery that draws things out for extended periods of time and accomplishes very, very little by comparison to how much of the cost of the legal expenses are, right? And even when you do get these large settlements, which do occasionally happen, how much do all the incredibly poor Māori who can't even afford to feed their kids or buy them fracking shoes in some places up north, how much do you think they get out of it, even though it's their tribe that won the claim? Nothing. Okay? There's an elite, just like there's a brown elite, and I'm sure there's some description of other elite families and whatnot in Asia and Africa and all over the place. All these little pawns of the New World Order who are brought in as sort of like these elite. If you're listening to somebody who looks like you, sounds like you, and they're telling you that they're going to help you, hey, you're more likely to trust them. And so you're more likely to give up your wealth and your rights. Eh? Am I the only one who notices this? We kind of all get played by, essentially, the people who we think we ought to trust. The people who are in fiduciary levels of responsibility. In fact, fiduciary, what is that? That's like a doctor or a lawyer or a politician or something. Somebody who you trust to make the right decisions because they're in the position to know. Okay? Ergo, you stop investigating. You stop questioning. You stop doing anything that matters. And you give it all to them. All the responsibility. And this is allegedly, according to the Kingitanga, what has happened to Māori. Is that they've given all of their rights and all of their wealth gradually over to either the crown or the brown elite that usurps them, you know? And they want to kind of get rid of that faction, those families who are doing this, and seize their assets and get things back on track, okay? And a lot of people I'm just reporting what they're saying. Okay, this ain't my opinion. I don't know what the hell's going on. Like I said, the real crux of it is, if you eliminate government control and give it back to the people, particularly Māori groups, the efficiency increases relatively quickly because you've got community guidelines and things like that. For example, there was a lake preserving project conducted by local iwi or tribes, and they had 1,000 plus rivers and lakes under their custodial title. So they were custodians of the land. The government currently has thousands upon thousands upon thousands of lakes and rivers under its protection, or something like that. And they all turn to sludge and muck and filth and pollution. You have any idea how many of the lakes and rivers under Māori protection got polluted? Not one. Not one. It is my strong conclusion that there are people, particularly native people, who are natural caretakers of the land. Their culture and their society has almost produced perfect eco-warriors. Not eco-warriors that tell you you can't tread here or you can't do that. Eco-warriors who tell you, bro, clean up after yourself, okay? Take care of the lake. That's kind of thing. And that's another thing about the difference between Māori jurisdiction over lakes and waterways versus government. Is that government says that you can't come into these places in some cases, right? Whereas all the ones that are under custodial title of Māori are open to the public. There's just certain rules you've got to follow, like don't throw rubbish and trash and feces everywhere. You know, pretty simple rules. Other than that, mate, you can do what you like. And sure enough, people have been actually not only been able to have pristine lakes and waterways, but they've even been able to enjoy them as well without fracking them up like every single thing the government touches. See what I'm saying here? I think there really is two different systems running here in this country. However, it's not an efficient system that runs together. It's like two factions going head to head and exploding in the middle and turning them both cells to dust. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I'd really appreciate some callers today. Anybody who helped keep me awake. The number is 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Divided we fall.
Just in time, head down the 405. Gotta meet the new boss by 8 a.m. The phone rings in the car. The wife is working hard. She's running late tonight again. Well, I know what I've been told. You gotta work to feed the soul. Can't do this all on my own. No, I know I'm no Superman. I'm no Superman. You've got your love online. You
welcome back, ladies and gentlemen,
fine,
to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. But you're just broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. I would really love some callers. If anybody would be so kind as to call in and have a conversation with me about whatever the heck I'm talking about. We've been talking about Māori issues and whatnot, but you know what occurred to me over the break is that you have a look at the Māori statistics and how many of them are in jail and how much more likely they are to be sent to jail than a white guy. African Americans listening? You know, something familiar there? Huh? It's the same thing everywhere you look, isn't it? You have a globalist mentality that spreads itself out in the exact same way everywhere you freaking go. It's unbelievably brilliant in its design and its execution. There's centralized decision making so that all the decisions that might get made down the tree and up the tree just don't have any variance. Exact same thing goes on. You know, that's why it's obviously a conspiracy. Without any even further looking into, if countries everywhere have the exact same problems within the judiciary and their government and their corporates, you have to be really, really naive to think that it is all happening simultaneously with the exact same apparatus by accident. Okay, it does happen when you have huge coincidences like that. For example, the invention of the telescope. You know who invented the telescope? No, of course you don't. You know why? Because it was invented by like 9 guys on the same night on opposite ends of the earth who didn't know each other. Work that one out. Some real messed up stuff going on up there. You wonder just how far the breach is. How far does the physical blend into the metaphysical and vice versa? And my perspective on this is, well, you can only really react to the things that are right in front of you. And if there's scumbaggery right in front of you and you don't react to it, hey, you're supporting scumbaggery. I mean, is that not simple? Is that not straightforward? If people are suffering, dying, being discriminated against, having very little chance to even have a say in the determination of their own lives by government mandate, if that's for the good of their health, you know? If I were king for a day, not that a king has any power, if I was the Rothschild family for a day, let's go to the real rulers. Or at least some of them. I don't know. Rothschilds are. I've heard many, many things about them. They're either the rulers or the puppets of the rulers, or something of that nature. You know, basically, the real rulers never, 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 never get the spotlight. Rothschilds don't get much of the spotlight at all. But sure enough, people do know about them. If I was the New World Order apparatus for a day, I would kill myself. I would destroy all of my apparatus. I would dismantle the military-industrial complex. I would sell off and bankrupt every single pharmaceutical company, every single oil cartel, every single police force, every single judge, every single mayor and governor and prime sinister, everybody be fired that day. Just like that. Everybody be like, oh, but it would be chaos afterwards. Really? Would it? If suddenly people weren't doped to the freaking eyeballs on incredibly dangerous psychotropic drugs that make them commit suicide or commit murders and multiple homicide and then suicide, the world would suddenly be a worse place, do you think? No. Everything would be solved. You just simply need to focus on the real frickin' problems and ships fall where they may. Sure, things might take a while to reorganize, but at least you won't have to worry about an incredibly corrupt judiciary not enforcing your rights, an incredibly dangerous military-industrial complex invading your country for made-up reasons, and incredibly sociopathic, psychopathic, dangerous, 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 dangerous people who you trust and elect to save your ass when the Shiite Muslim hits the fan. The caller in here, and I'd like more callers, 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525. Kathy in California, you're on the air.
Hi, really long time no talk. How you doing?
Oh, not good today, to be honest.
You sound kind of down today. I'm sorry to hear that. But, you know, you wouldn't have to worry about committing suicide. You do all that stuff you're talking about, they just take you out.
Well, you know, I guess that's one way of thinking positively.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to kill yourself. They'd do it for you.
Well, I wouldn't take their dangerous psychotropic medications that would make me want to kill myself, so it's probably not going to happen anyway. In fact, when I was a young boy, I used to get teased a lot for being fat, and I did want to kill myself. My brother told me, Vinny, if you ever put us through you killing yourself, I ain't going to come to your freaking funeral. I'll come afterwards, and I will piss on your freaking grave. My brother said that to me straight up. Suddenly, good. I didn't want to kill myself no more, and I haven't since.
Well, I've been watching your, you know, shows online when I miss your show during the week, and you're doing a great job. But I just want to let you know that I'm still tuning in.
Well, how are you, Kathy? Because apparently, this show saved your life back in the day. It's been that long since I've heard from you.
It's been a while, I know. My back's been bad, so I haven't been on the internet much. I emailed Mitch. I don't know how he's doing. Is he still working with you?
Yeah. To a bit effect, he's getting me guests every now and again. He's wheeling and dealing behind the scenes. At the moment, he's having some problems with immigration. I love the fact that my producer's an illegal immigrant now, honestly. I think it gives me more credibility as an anti-New World Order talk radio show host.
I emailed him about a week or so ago. He never responded, so I thought, uh-oh. Are they kicking him out of New Zealand, or...
No. I mean, we'll find out. I mean, the day that he found out that he could be kind of arrested and deported at any time, I brought him right on the radio show to talk about it. So I don't know. I don't think anything's going to happen to him, quite honestly, because dig this. This is what's really sick about the situation. He's here with his wife and two daughters.
I know he does.
Now, they've got citizenship, they've got visas, so they can stay in the country, but he can't?
That's ridiculous.
Okay. So, crazy. It's like, what's more beneficial for a family unit in any society than a complete family unit? I mean, you add extra stress and financial pressure and things of that nature by taking either one of the parents out of the situation. But the government's like, no, we've got to follow protocol. So they follow rules, not logic.
Well, you know what they're trying to do is break up the family homes. That's what they're doing. They're doing it over here. You know, with all this gay marriage and they're arresting parents for having their kids outside playing in the front yard. I mean, it's ridiculous. And they're trying to break up the family home. And they're probably doing the same thing there.
Oh, exactly the same thing. And what I can point directly to in history as being one of the primary breakdowns of the family unit was the feminist movement. You know, I'll make people angry just by saying that, particularly women. But it's a fact, okay? Who financed the feminist movement? The Rockefeller Foundation. Who are the Rockefeller Foundation? Oh, they're bankers, big evil oil men, stuff like that. You know, the good guys. after this revolution, divorce rate's gone well up. Like, it's now even over 50%. The majority of American children are living in broken homes. When girls and boys are raised, they imprint the behaviors of their parents and they kind of act out their life based on those. So if you have a mother who's, say, a nurse, and a father who's, say, an inventor, your child will have these two examples of career choices as part of them, and they may not follow those career paths or whatever, but usually there's a bit of nepotism within doctors and lawyers and families like that. But here's the other element that's very, very interesting indeed. If you don't have one of your parents around, you get totally thrown out of balance, and usually your relationships will, in later life, will suffer enormously. Because not only do you imprint habits and things of that nature, you also imprint the mentality. Now, if you're raised by a single mother, for example, as I was for much of the life, the mentality of having a strong male role model around which I could emulate simply wasn't there. So my male tendencies started to become hyperactive. So I became very, very violent, very resistant, withdrawn, very angry, very bitter, very, very depressed. And my mother saw all this happening, and she was given a brochure by the school guidance counselor about all these symptoms of ADHD, right? And it's like, high intelligence, inability to focus on one thing for too long, or strong-headedness, and bunch of other symptoms. There's like 50, 60 things on there that everybody's got, basically. but this is the thing. Somebody throws out a whole bunch of symptoms that everybody's got, invariably everybody falls into it. But instead of drugging me, my mother hired a guy named Derek Hayward, who's a lavender farmer, to come around and hang out with me once a week. And we would simply watch movies, or we would go for, or he would teach me to drive, or we would bash down weeds and gorse in the paddocks and things like that. And suddenly, the violence started going away, the depression started going away. It wasn't anything to do with the fact that I had fewer friends or anything like that. I was actually kind of was ultimately really happy in my life. I just didn't have any strong male role model for me to help mold myself into. And it was kind of at that point in my life that I realized, oh my God, seeing as I don't have my father around, like, at all. He left when I was like 9. And I didn't really see him much before then anyway. I have to collect father figures all over the place. You know, just accumulate as many as I can. And as a result, I'm pretty clued up because I got all this old wisdom buzzing around in my head.
Yeah, you're on track. Well, I've really enjoyed your shows, and I just haven't emailed you, you know. But if I miss a show, I watch it online, catch up. But, you're putting out some good information there. And I just want, you sound so down today, I just thought I'd call in. And nobody else was, so here I am.
Yeah, and yet still nobody else is calling in. The number is 218-339-8525. If you let me just try and guilt trip everybody here. If you appreciate the Vinnie Eastwood show, you will call in right now at 218-339-8525, y'all. Because I'm feeling the pain today. I feel the sleep debt and the MK Ultra programming. Oh, I need your support, ladies and gentlemen. 218-339-8525.
Well, it's nice talking to you. I don't have to wait for anyone else to hop online be kicked off.
I found that on the Friday show, Saturday here in New Zealand, not too many people actually listen into these end of the week shows for some reason. I think it's because they're kind of in the evening esque, and everybody is getting their drink on, and it's difficult to have a conversation with your mates when you're having a few beers when there's Vinnie Eastwood that makes everybody shut up and listen. You know.
Yeah.
Some initiative. Turn off the Vinnie Eastwood show. Have a drink with your mates, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're not doing that, then please, for frack's sake, call in 218-339-8525. Kathy, thank you for your call.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky.
Welcome
black
back.
Black sunrise,
welcome always back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood show. We're broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Call in lines are open. 218 239-8525. That's 218-339-8525. We have a caller on here that I don't recognise from a 214 area code. Would I be able to have your first name and just the kind of general state that you're calling from?
Brent, Dallas, Texas.
What was that, Brent? Dallas, Texas, was it?
Yeah, Brent, like Brent C. Oil or...
Oh, all right.
Or the Limeys out there, I guess. But I just called to cheer you up. I thought I heard a call for help. And I thought the best thing I could do to cheer you up would be to let you know just how much I really appreciate your show. And I'm a first-time caller, and I probably should have called many times before, but you have just inspired me. You have got me to a point where I understand so much more in the last year than I have in my entire life. And without you, Vinny, I don't even know if I could make it through the fucking week. Oh, excuse my language. Oh, God. Cut me off there if you have to.
Well, I don't do that to people, but I do apologize for the affiliates.
Yeah, I apologize for the affiliates.
This out. And
I'm
also
just being real here for you. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I swear so much it's not even funny in my regular life, Brent. And when I come onto the radio, I can't speak how the words would naturally come out. And it's taken me years to weed out profanity, just in the short time frame of doing radio, right?
Understandable.
So, you know, firstly, yeah, apologize to the affiliates, but for goodness sake, also want to put in another message in here. Freedom of speech. First Amendment. Okay? The seven words that you can't say on radio. These are just words. Okay? What are you going to do? You get angry over words? As opposed to get angry over people getting murdered in different countries and coming home with depleted uranium-related illnesses and have to be homeless on the frickin' streets as a veteran, you know, that's fine. But saying the F word on FCC-regulated radio, that's really bad. That's evil.
Yeah, the seven deadly words by George Carlin, you know.
See,
it's an expression. And here we are, we have, you know, depleted uranium. Yeah. Shells that our soldiers weren't even aware of.
See, now that's just far more offensive to me. You know, I mean, I would love to say depleted uranium and then have the board op go, oh my God, he said depleted uranium, beep, and beep it out, you know, with a 7-second delay. So those offensive words. Oh my God, he said pharmaceutical cartel, beep.
Did you hear about Petraeus? Did you hear, resigning?
No.
Yeah, Petraeus.
Well,
Petraeus. Our Petraeus.
So let me get this straight. The guy who is Petraeus resigned. Now, do you think that the betrayal of the people of the United States and the military is going to resign with him? I don't think so.
Well, I don't think it's really over, you know, running around on his wife.
He was running around on his wife?
Well, you know, supposedly, you know, I mean, you got to have an excuse to get him out of there somehow.
Yeah. Well,
who knows?
People are sexual by nature. And I think it's like,
I thought that's why you joined the CIA. I thought that's why you joined the CIA, was to run around on your wife.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, baby. I've got an alias and I've got a secret mission between the bed sheets. Yeah. I can't tell you about it, baby. If I had told you about it, I'd have to kill you.
That's right. You know? We knew we'd all be dead right now, probably.
And you imagine like a family of CIA people around there. Apparently this exists. That's why they call it the intelligence family community sort of thing. You kind of sort of like a doctor's, you know, if your dad's in the service, you probably might be too. They're just thinking about this. Mom, what's for dinner? I can't tell you. Or I'd have to kill you.
Yeah. I think the intelligence community is the ones that are awake now.
Well, in large parts, yes. I mean, what was his name? David Tata was telling me last night about Frank Zappa. You heard of Frank Zappa?
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy who invented the
radio. I never did like him, but that's all right.
Yeah. Well, I watched a couple of interviews with them last night, and I normally don't have any time to watch anything. But there I was till 4 o'clock in the morning, editing, working away, and listening to this Frank Zappa's interview. And back in the early 90s and 70s and in the 80s, he was talking about how America was going to turn into a fascist dictatorship, that the dictatorship of words is the first road onto a kind of fascist theocracy, that when you elect hardcore right-wing religious people such as Ronald Reagan, and they implement agendas that support their religious beliefs, then you are on the track, obviously, to a theosophic fascist dictatorship where the religion will rule and it'll take everybody else out. He talked about the military-industrial complex. He talked about so many other things that basically I talk about these days.
Sounds like he was right on.
He was well ahead of his time. And he never sold out, never did a major record company deal or anything like that, produced everything himself. He was just an incredibly successful guy whose dad was in military intelligence. And I presume his dad actually shared a lot of the realities of the world with him, as father to son often does. And he constructed his creative life around resistance to the New World Order. So it's true what you say about the intelligence families waking up, because one person raised in an environment of information that's true and credible can grow up to be an incredibly effective adult because they don't have to relearn all of this stuff after being brainwashed in school.
I agree. And I just wanted to cheer you up a little bit, and sounds like you're doing a little bit better already.
I don't know about that, man. Still feeling like absolute
ass. Come on.
So much else to do here. And it's
if you do 5 days a week, man, you know, like you said, consistently, nobody else out there is doing it. And I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of you. And listen, thank you from the deepest, deepest recesses of my heart for what you're doing. And
I
promise my $5 is in the mail, okay? I promise.
If you subscribe for $5 a month, that'd be real. And it's only like $5 New Zealand as well. So it's we've got, ironically, less
strong
dollar than the US, which I can't explain.
There we go. Hey, I'm getting off, man.
All right. Thanks, Brent, for your call, man. I appreciate
no problem.
That.
No problem at all. Bye.
Thanks, man. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to call in and try and cheer me up as well. I think I'm going to need a number of calls like that. Feel a little bit better. 218-339-8525 is the number to ring in, and we'll be coming to break in just a few minutes. And you know how many alternative media outlets there are here in New Zealand that do radio 5 days a week and produce YouTube videos every single day? You know how many? One. Me. So much pressure. Because it's like, I took responsibility for the fact that we didn't have a media. And because I took responsibility, even though it wasn't given to me, it is now my responsibility to be the alternative media of New Zealand. You know, it's kind of dawning on me today just how much work that is to do by yourself. I mean, there's a lot of people that help out here and there, but in terms of the actual mechanics, you know, like the websites, the blogs, the radio shows, the editing, the videos and everything, all done by myself. 7 hours of radio and audio archives from yesterday alone are available on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and my YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media. 7 hours of content produced and published by myself in a day. Now, it's a big day. Hell yeah, that's a big day. And I'm feeling it. But I have to, but I feel urged to do more. Why? Because not enough is yet being done. I may be helping some of the listeners learn a whole bunch of things about life and conspiracy, but yet not enough people know about it already. And that's the inherent pressure that I put on myself. Every time somebody, everybody who kind of produces, you know, independent content, like people like American Freedom Radio does, like eight plus or 12 freaking hours of content a day, or something ridiculous. And Danny Romero over there at AFR is doing it all by his lonesome, doing all the editing and all that sort of stuff. And we have the boys at the boards who do such a fabulous job. And it's like, I am so grateful to be where I am. It's just sometimes you work so hard that you forget to give yourself a day off. You forget to eat and so on and so forth. We've got Pete on the line here. I'm sorry, Pete, we're coming to break, mate. I really would hope that you hold on until after the break, and I'll take your call and we'll have a conversation. It's a long segment, so it's like 17 minutes or something. But yeah, anybody else would like to call in, that'd be nice too at the time, just to put you in the queue. 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. We'll be right back after the break, and you can join us in the chat room at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I apologize it took so long getting from break back. You know, brain work. Have you ever seen those pictures on the internet? My brain not work. I have the dumb. It's kind of what I feel like today. Elizabeth, you are on the air. Elizabeth, are you there?
I am. I'm sorry. I was a delay my unmuting. This must be your Texas contingency because I'm in Texas also. And I concur with the other Texans. And I just wanted to let you know that my son is about 20, and I always try to be supportive in everything he does. And what you're doing is just so fabulous, too. So I've tried to be here for as long as I've figured out where this station is and be supportive of you because I think you're just doing a fabulous job. And I also have learned tons and tons. And I certainly can't speak for all Americans, but I really think that we've just been on total burnout with the elections for months and months and months and months, and I know me personally, it was just total media burnout. It's like, I can't listen to anything more, I can't talk about anything more, I'm done.
Yeah. Well, Elizabeth, it is no coincidence that I feel like crap today, and it's just after the elections. No coincidence.
No, it's just, you just at some point you sit back and it's like you get what you get. You know, everybody was in on this, but this is what you want. It started out a different routine. And if anything came of this, I think a whole bunch of Americans figured out one thing, that we no longer choose who runs for president. We don't actually know anything about presidential candidates. We're removed from the system. The media picks and chooses what they want. I was looking at election results on Wednesday, and they didn't even mention how many votes Gary Johnson got. He wasn't even on the list. And so it's like, you know, you get what you get, folks.
Yeah, that's true, Elizabeth. And people got to take some responsibility. Thank you for your call, darling. And we have Pete, who did call back. Thank you so much for that. Pete, you're on the air.
Hey, Vinny, how you doing?
Like Shiite Muslim.
I got some news to pick you up, brother.
Really?
Two things.
Are you going to be delivering a giant trucker container load full of weed to my door? Because that would really cheer me up.
Maybe next time. You heard of the Spire Law Group?
No.
Spire Law Group is suing, government officials, Federal Reserve Bank, international banksters, $43 trillion to be returned to the U.S. Treasury because of the bailouts. And the homing scandal, and the derivatives, and the hypothecation, and the racketeering. It's a racketeering suit in federal district court in New York and Brooklyn right now. So that's good news. You can go to beforeitisnews.com and Google or search Spire Law Group, and you wouldn't believe the list of defendants. I mean, they've got Corzone, the governor of New Jersey, that went in front of Congress and said, "So what? I borrowed my people's funds to make a bet in Vegas. What's the big deal?" And the other thing is Kevin Barrett's show, True Jihad. Gordon Duff, Veterans Today, man. A bunch of intelligence all around the world said no Romney, no Iranian war. Sorry. Blood Diamonds thing, Romney got exposed, got blackmailed, all his supporters backed out at the last minute. There's white hats in the intelligence agencies all around the world, and they sprung this thing because Romney's such a throw up, worse than Obama, bring us to war in Iran right away. And they killed his presidency. And they even hacked the hackers doing the voting machines. So those are the two bits of good news. Check out Gordon Duff on Karen Barrett's show, the last 5 days or so, all around their election. And then Spire Law Group, $43 trillion to be returned to the citizens of the United States from corrupt government officials, international banksters. It is amazing. It's all rolling at once. It's consciousness invading the earth. I don't know, but it's good news.
So these people are launching a prosecution of these people, or are they?
It's a civil suit for racketeering under racketeering laws and under corruption laws.
I noticed Eric Holder, the United States Attorney General, is on the
he's backing out.
Senior White House advisors and chairman of the board of Citigroup, Vikram Pandit. These kind of people. This is a high list, and those are just the individuals. Yeah. So
have you heard about all the?
I've been waiting to hear about whether these white hats would actually frickin' do anything, because it kind of seemed a little bit strange to me that if you were going to come out and arrest all the banksters and screw them all or whatever simultaneously, why would you let them have notice of that? Why wouldn't you just do the surprise attack? But here we have it, nonetheless. So that's
In front of you.
Yeah.
Okay, from the Forbes News
as well, and they're from Ally Credit Canada, Bank of America, Citigroup, Deutsche Bank,
Sachs Goldman.
Wells Fargo.
Eric Holder, Justice Department. He's resigning. He's on the director of the IRS and the assistant director just resigned. Never made the news. Eric Holder's running for the hills. The Bushes can't leave the country. Because there's Interpol arrest warrants. Cheney, Bush, the whole cabal that did 9/11 was aligned with Romney. If you look at Romney's campaign staff, it was all the 9/11 group. These neo-fascist, international bankster, Bush cabal, CIA stuff. But the white hats popped up and said, enough is enough. They saved us from Romney, who was going to go to war right away with Iran. They got goods on him in Cuba, Veterans Today. They got him coming off with a KGB girlfriend. He was working with Fidel and his brother to run drugs and human trafficking, everything. It's incredible. It's all breaking loose.
Well, see, but like I said before, man, regardless, it ain't over till the fat lady sings. And this isn't a time for people to sit back and celebrate. This is a time for people to go, right, time to get kicked into high gear while the going's good. Get some momentum behind it. Go even harder. I know everybody's tired and depressed and upset and frickin' kind of beaten down by these annoying and pointless elections, but don't let them discourage you, okay? There were only 18% of people who were stupid enough to turn out and vote, and they waited 4 hours in line. Okay, to get Obama reelected, and it's not like it's going to make a terribly large amount of difference. I mean, if it's not a war with Iran, it'll be a war on the American people, or a war on drugs, or a war on something else. That's what America is now. It's the war economy.
Benny, I got a great joke for you. What's the difference between the mafia and the government?
Not much.
The mafia doesn't make you spend 12 years of mandatory indoctrination to convince you they're not the mafia.
Well, and also, the mafia have a code of ethics. They have a code.
And yeah, apparently, the guys, all the intelligence agencies, from even the Mossad didn't want Romney in there. And they set up a Netanyahu. And Romney was trying to run blood diamonds through Tel Aviv, through Bain, to China, and back to the U.S. It was incredible. There's so much shit hit the fan the last 2 weeks. It's unbelievable.
FCC, all that stuff. Well, anyway, Pete, yeah, thank you for your call, bro. I'm going to go now to Richard in Texas. You are on the air.
Hi, Vinny. I just wanted to pass on some breaking news. Well, number one, before I forget, I want to mention that I've always found Gordon Duff a bit suspect, and some of the stuff seems absolutely wild. Now there is a video or it may be an audio recording, I forget, that I listened to today that is him in his own voice actually admitting to the fact that about 40% of what he puts out is disinfo, claiming that he wouldn't be alive today if he didn't go about his storytelling in that way. So I just wanted to put that word out there. It's easy to find on YouTube, and, I think that's worth knowing. And lastly is a bombshell that has fallen today with another resignation. Allegedly, forget this, an extramarital affair. Petraeus is now gone, and he was due to testify on the Benghazi horror story next Tuesday. And I don't know what's going to happen with that, but I suspect that's probably not going to happen now. But that's pretty mind-boggling. And with the other two firings that Obama has done, allegedly General Hamm, who was relieved because he was prepared to disobey Obama's order and send in a squad to the Benghazi situation, he's been relieved. And there's this other Admiral Gallant who's been relieved as well. So I suspect there's a lot of stirrings in the military over all of this, particularly considering Benghazi appears to be at the heart of it. Had you heard that news, Denny?
You know, it's I'm so far out of the loop, because all I do is just kind of interview the people on the show and rely on the listeners to inform me about stuff. So I didn't know, but now I do.
Yeah, well, it's all scary stuff, and I just have a feeling that stuff with the military is going to ramp up, and I don't know that that's necessarily a good thing, but I pray that it will be. Obviously, we've got a treasonous president who's just been reelected. The people have just lost in their ability to select someone. Plus, we've got the election fraud on top of the dumb-dead populace here in the United States for the most part. And the military's got to be thinking, you know, what other, recourse is there other than to take action? I'm not advocating that, and I don't have any inside information, but it sure looks very interesting, at least to say.
Well, there are many forms of action that one can take. Speaking is the very first one. That's why it's the First Amendment. Richard, thank you very, very much for that call, man. That's good info. And we're going to go to our next caller now, our 502 area code. I'm not familiar. Is this a first-time caller? If so, I would love your first name.
My name is Joshua.
Joshua. And whereabouts are you calling from? Are you by chance calling from Joshua Tree?
No, not quite. I'm calling from Louisville, Kentucky.
Kentucky? Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. Good chicken there.
Where are you at right now?
I'm in my studio in the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand. Clear blue sky day, but it's windy as all hell.
Wow, sounds nice. I thought I'd give a call. I never called in before, but since everyone's kind of rambling on, I thought I'd throw my two cents in, you know what I mean?
throw $20 in, bro. Go for your life.
Say again?
I said throw $20 in. Go for your life.
$20.
What's on your mind, man? What's on your mind, man?
Hey, man, I'm paying off on my phone bill as it is.
As opposed to throwing in your 2 cents.
All right. Well, in that case, then I'll throw you $200. And I'm just kidding. All right, I'll go ahead and shoot. Look, I was in the military, and I'm a veteran. I didn't go over to Iraq, but I have been overseas, and I've been around the world. And I've taken it all in. And I've redone my own personal research, and basically what I'm going to say goes right along with most other people have concluded. Everything from 9/11, before 9/11, and the aftermath of everything, you know, it's all been a gradual takeover of the United States of America as we knew it, and much of the world. And all the proof there, documented, hidden, proven through computers, eyewitnesses, video, you name it. But basically, everybody's got the idea. Hello?
Okay. Yeah, I'm still here. Just finish your point, man. We're coming to break in about 10 seconds.
Sorry, can I keep going or what?
Well, how about you hold on until after the break, and we'll give you a minute to finish your point after that. How's them apples? All right, Josh?
All right. You cut me off anytime, you know.
You're a first-time caller, man. I'll let you have some space. We'll be right back, folks.
I was toting my pack along the dusty when I'm up the road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We're going to go back to our... Joshua in Kentucky, this is something that I've been thinking about over the last couple of days. You know that phrase, that very classic phrase, hey, I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener? I love that Shiite Muslim. And quite frankly, if more people who have not called in yet want to call in today, that would be the bee's knees for me. So, Joshua, if you've got a few minutes to finish your point, then we're going to go to Angel in Texas. She's been holding quite a while too.
Okay, thank you, sir. I just want to add that I know and a lot of other people know we're under a new world order for real. That's what it is. And we're pretty screwed about it, you know, if you want to know the blunt truth. And it's just going to keep getting worse. So all I hope and pray for is that, people seek peace and prosperity and happiness as much as they can while we can, and that's all I got to say.
All right, Josh, thanks for your call. And you kind of understand that your position in the community as just a human being endows you with certain responsibilities. You've got the ability to think, you've got the ability to act, and you've got the ability to support those around you. And the New World Order doesn't want us to care about each other, so in essence, we're not encouraged to, and we try to retreat inwards, and it's the opposite thing we should do. Angel, in Texas, you're on the air.
Many blessings, Vinny. Anyway, first time caller. What's that?
I said, no Shiite Muslim.
That's the Shiite, man, for real.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to tell you, man, I love the show. Actually, the whole network, the AFR, has played a pretty big part. I caught y'all like pretty much when y'all launched. And all the shows have been a big part of my education to the reality of what we're living in. I've always had an intuition, a feeling that something just wasn't quite right, you know. But I wasn't educated enough to know what it was. I love your show, man. You know, it's hard. You're grinding every day, daily. I just wanted to call in to be the voice of, I want to thank you for your voice, but I want to tell you, man, you got to take care of yourself, Vinny. Take care of yourself.
I was just telling the studio, man, I'm definitely going to need to take a week off in the very near future. It's like, when you accomplish a big project, right, and you've been busting your hump on it for a long time, and it's finished, but you don't get any downtime afterwards. That's kind of right. What the elections are, because you've got to keep reporting the news and interviewing guests daily, and there's very little downtime. And now I'm doing stuff on the weekends and all that sort of stuff. I think I might be overburdening myself a little bit, trying to help everybody else, right. and in so doing, I'm not helping myself.
Exactly. Exactly. And yeah, take that week off. And then when you come back, make one day a week. Make a Vinny day. You know? Make a Vinny day, man. Just kick back, try and just forget about it. Just drop it. Drop it. Do what you want to do. And then come back the day after that, smashing like you always do, man. You know? But for this week, let me give you just a little, I would say try and get yourself some acupuncture, some energy work done. Get your meridian flowing, flowing again. Because that grinding so hard every day, and then you got like so much burden on your shoulders. It's like you're trying to carry your atlas. You're trying to carry the world, Vinny. And that's why everybody loves you so much, man. You're the tip of the spear. And there needs to be, we need to like duplicate you 1,000 times.
Well, Atlas did trick Hercules into holding up the world for him so he could go off and have some fun. So maybe I should be looking for sit-in hosts, like if I take a week off, I don't suddenly have to cancel all the guests. Like, I've got guests fully booked out for the month of November as it is. But because of the fact that I'm on so many different networks going on other people's shows and bringing other people from other networks on this shows, it's actually amassed me a Rolodex of really talented and cool people that I think can right. kind of sit in for a day or so and host the show in my absence. So, you know, that's probably not too bad an idea. And I've done it before. I think first time I did it, I organized 2 weeks. All right, so 10 shows of 2 hours each with a guest and a guest host. And producing radio can be really intense, right? But that only took me an afternoon because such is my rapport with my guests. You know, I mean, I'm sure you've noticed, Angel, that when guests come on the show, they instantly start to relax really, really quickly and open right. up and enjoy their time here and have a few laughs and stuff like that, which they don't get anywhere else. So I think it's the uniquity of my style that kind of brings people in and makes them want to keep coming back, because man, this right. this life is so harsh. Even if you don't know about conspiracy, and when you do, it's even worse. All the activists and all those people out there having death threats and having their websites taken down and being banned off YouTube and all of that sort of stuff. Who the hell is offering them a holiday? You know, who the hell is coming up to them and saying, hey, dude, here's 2 hours where you can talk about whatever you want, and I'll just sit here and make sure, absolutely sure, that you enjoy yourself. You know, I don't see that happening. These people have real harsh lives, harsher than mine. They do more work than I do.
Right. And really, really, really under the gun, you know, because, you know, it's you're right, though, man. That's what people like about the show, man. It's light, but then it's dead serious. You know, the information is good, it's detrimental to our lives, but you make it digestible.
Well, but again, just like eating lots of red meat, even though it technically is digestible, you put too much into it, you get a blockage at some point. And I think that's what the election has ultimately taught me. Particularly American elections. I think this is actually the first American election that I've covered on radio. And I now understand what all the alternative media and the mainstream media have been complaining about the whole time, about the intensity of covering an American election. For a truther, it's very different because the intensity is on a different level. It's not like I feel really, really overburdened with huge amounts of information that I have to process and all these things that I have to write up about the candidates and what have you. It's not about that at all. It's actually more about the fact of just dealing with the frustration that every single word they say is 8 lies packaged together that you have to deconstruct. So listening to their speech is actually like wasting 16 hours of your life.
you can never
get back.
It's gone, man. It's gone.
See, I was just getting to this point, man, where I was like, well, frack the election. Frack it, you know. Like, I almost was like toying with the idea over the break, bro, just censoring the election. You know, anybody who brings up the election, calls in, talks about the election, or Obama or Romney, you know, hang up the phone. No, I don't want to deal with it anymore.
You know what? That's not such a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, because honestly, even people of the time who are locked into that left and right, red and blue, you know, they're tired of it. But it's the so-called, that's the American thing to do. That's what you're supposed to do. So we burden ourselves with making a decision. You know,
what's that been going on? You know, how long have people been burdened with this decision, yet the vast majority of Americans don't even want to go out and vote and even make a decision? It's just put in front of them all day to make a decision. And because it's put in front of them, they get all the time and they can't escape from it. They get so annoyed with it that they don't want to participate in it and try to escape from it, but they can't because it's on every channel and every freaking radio studio. Every freaking alternative media, too, is talking about this BS, and it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all. Not at all. You're right. And that's like the most frustrating part about it. You know? So I think your idea is great. Just ignore it. Spread it through alternative media. Ignore the election. You know?
We can't. Because the alternative media, a vast majority of the time, simply takes a mainstream media article, changes a few words around, sixes up the article headline in order to get more hits on Google, just so that they can talk about what everybody else is talking about and salvage what little public moronic attention that they possibly can in order to increase their hits to inform people about stuff that doesn't matter, that they can't freaking change.
And that's the exact reason I stopped listening to Alex Jones over 2 years ago. Because that's all he does is pluck headlines and change around and try to blame somebody else on it. But he's not blaming who we need to be after. You know,
should we even be blaming anybody? I reckon we should be blaming ourselves for not doing freaking enough. I mean, maybe that's half the reason why I put so much pressure on myself, because it's kind of like, the reason that I knew Obama would be re-elected is the same reason that I knew John Key would be re-elected here in New Zealand, is because they were sent here to destroy the country and they ain't finished yet. The reason why I'm going to keep doing this is because I sent myself here to save the frickin' world, to save people's consciousness and to help people deal with just the day-to-day mundane freaking slave job existence that we've all been suffering under our whole freaking lives, that there is virtually no respite to, you know. And my job ain't done yet. The enemy doesn't take a day off. I mean, Bob Marley one time he was shot, all right, in the arm or something like that, the day before a concert, and he came out on stage to that concert the very next day.
He's still rocking,
in his arm and everything. And he says,
still
rocket, huh? And he says, the bad people don't take a day off, so neither can I.
Right. You know, and that's inspiring. That's inspiring, man. You know, we got to learn something from greats like that, man. You know, because and like what you do, that's what Bob Marley was doing. He was trying to change people themselves, so people could change the world in turn.
Well, like, have you ever seen that movie with Will Smith or whatever? He said that Bob Marley said that racism was a disease and that you could cure it, literally cure it, with music.
Right.
And I do a lot of music myself as well, you know, my own songs and my bandmates, stuff like that. I've got to actually start playing some of these songs on the show because they're freaking good. I mean, even if I do say so myself. But it's just like to hear truthers sing and to sing about real songs is similar to hearing a truther on the radio talking about real issues. But it's much more powerful in a way because more emotions come across, more feeling, more power comes across. And I believe this is why so many great musicians who were so at the top of the game, who questioned the Illuminati, who knew what the heck was going on from behind the scenes and everything like that, wind up burning themselves out or fading away. And it's because you put the responsibility all on yourself. But the problem is the problems aren't caused by one person doing it by themselves. The problem are caused by many people doing many things simultaneously with each other. So if it's like taking a non-comparable responsibility level. If it's my responsibility by myself to save the entire world, you know, you're going to fucking die, mate. It's not that you know, they're going to kill you. It's you're going to stress yourself so hard out by trying to accomplish the impossible that you'll freaking die of a gosh dang heart attack. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, change sir. I, no problem. Hey, man, and speaking of Bob Marley, take care of yourself, Vinny. Take care of brother. Many blessings, man. Thank you for your voice, man.
You're welcome. And just before you go, there's a joke here. There were two stoners playing tennis. You know what the score was?
1-1. It was a what?
The score with the tennis match between two stoners was 1-1.
Uh-huh. One, one row?
One love.
One love. One love. There, I get it now. I get it, man.
One love, one joy.
One love, yeah.
Let's pass it around and we'll feel all right. All right, thank you, Andrew. And we're going to now Russell from Kansas. Russell, you're on the end.
What's up, Vinny?
Apparently not my mood or mindset.
Dude, I can tell, man. It's not cool. This is Josh from Southern California, man. I am in the chat room when I have the tab open. I'm just calling in to tell you, dude, there's no reason to be fucking... Or, sorry. I apologize to your payers. There's no reason to be down, man. There's no reason to be down. There's plenty of good things happening, man. We got the same... We got the same pool to fight right now. We don't have to switch over to Romney. It would be so annoying to have to switch over to attacking a different person. We already have the same guy. We can keep on going at him. He's committed treasonous acts. People are acting on such things. He's going to be in court pretty soon. So it's not really that bad. You covered the election pretty well, I gotta say. But there's really no reason to cover it, because it's all a farce. It's pointless. We all know it's rigged. Everyone in America knows, unless you're watching Fox or CNN, everyone pretty much knows. So I guess my point.
Here's the main point encouragement that we can take away from all of this, Josh. Only 18% of Americans turned out to vote. That means at a bare minimum, 82% of the people are aware that this election didn't mean a fracking thing. Thanks for your call, Josh. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to call in as well, final segment coming up, 218-339-8525 at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
Bonkers.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. From New Zealand, as far as I know, I'm the only New Zealander with an American talk radio show. I don't know. My producer says because I know more about America than the majority of Americans do, which is really, really sad state of affairs for the country that apparently gave birth to the idea of revolution and freedom and independence. We have a caller on the line here, 740 area code. I don't know your first name or the state you're calling from, but hopefully you'll be able to tell us.
Hello, Vinny. Is this me?
Yes, it is.
Okay. First time caller. Hope to be a long time listener. How's that sound?
Hey, that's a little bit of a switcheroonie, but what's your first name there, bro? What state are you calling from?
Pioneer.
Pioneer? Yeah. If you want to keep your location secret, that's fine.
Ohio, USA, I'll give you that much. Well, they got me anyway. I dialed on my home phone anyway. Oh, well. Hey, first time I heard you spoke about William Cooper. 88 to 92, I started listening to him, and I now, since he died and everything, I started listening to, of course, Alex Jones and everything like that, but that, needless to say, that's pretty much why your show kind of like perked my eyes. I listened to him more often and everything. I just got back on the internet and found you and a little nervous talking to you and everything, but I love your show so far. I've been listening to you for about 2 weeks now and just want to give you a thumbs up. How's that sound?
Well, that's cool, man. And also, the other element is if you want to listen to the show, I have so many archives on my website, all available for free that you can download. And also, you know how you just got back on the internet? Well, one of my mates on the North Shore here in Auckland, he got a 32-gig stick, filled it up with the ad-free archives of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and then gave it to his mate who doesn't have the internet so he could listen to months of shows without even having to go online.
Okay. I see where you're going with that, and I'll do that, and I'll pass our message around, and... I just wanted to say hi, and I love your show.
Well, and also I wanted to get a little bit of background on you yourself. I mean, you've been listening to Patriot Talk Radio for so many years. you must have heard a lot of different shows. What was it that attracted you to the personalities like Bill Cooper and Alex Jones in the first place? And conversely, what has now attracted you towards me? I'm very interested to hear.
Well, I just got in the shortwave back there when I joined the service and everything, and I just ran into him, and he's got a lot of information. And what really turned me on about him was basically, if you don't believe me, check it out yourself. You know what I'm saying? You know, in other words, don't take his word for granted. Check it out yourself. You know what I mean? And it was just, after service, the darn Waco thing happened, and that's pretty much, Bill was dead then, by then, I believe. I'm not sure when he died, but I think it was 01 or something like that. I'm not sure, but it was, I just was scanning the radio, shortwave radio, and that's when I found him, and I listened to a lot of religious radio. As far as I was listening to Brother Stairs, I don't know if you ever heard of him, and I'm sure somebody out there in the air has heard of him, and it's just, I don't know, it's just different than what the regular media tells us, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's truth, and it's not bought off by major New World Order owned corporations, and that's ultimately what the I've got this concept called guerrilla media, where you give all the activists a platform so that they can speak their truth in their own way, not be accosted or attacked or talked down to that kind of way, because I think, like it or lump it, nowadays journalists are not journalists. Journalists are simply reporters for the establishment. They only report on what the establishment tells them to report on, and they tell it and they tell it the exact way that the establishment wants them to. Also, activists, on the other hand, are broke-ass mofos. They don't have a $7,000 Gucci handbag. They don't have a ticket to Tahiti in the next few months to get away from it all for a bit. They don't have major media passes and other people bowing down to them going, oh, you're from the media. Suddenly I respect you, ironically. It's just, we're not playing on a frickin' level playing field here, man. That's what I've determined. We're not playing on a level playing field in the media sense of the game. The information is not out there. I mean, how can you have a democracy if the vast majority of people don't know who they're voting for, what those persons' policies are, who their running mate is, what their history is, or anything? You cannot have a functioning electoral system with an uninformed population. This is why freedom of the press is part of the First Amendment, okay? Because it's the most important. Second most important is your backup, just in case all this freedom and truth fails. Second Amendment, guns. Because when people are coming at you with nothing but lies and deceit, shoot them, right? That's the ultimate thing here. So if somebody's going to spend their entire existence trying to deceive you and rob you, and not just you, but everybody else in your whole fracking country as well, not only rob your wealth off you, but your independence and your freedom and any form of sovereignty or entrepreneurship that made America once great back in the day and has since been subsequently destroyed and coerced into nothingness, into such a desperate situation. Hey, that's treason. What's the penalty for treason? Death. You know, that's basically what the Founding Fathers understood, is that unless you've got an armed population, just as well armed as the government, mind you, you're going to wind up in tyranny. It's just that simple.
Well, that's it's supposed to be a republic, not a democracy. Because if you got a democracy and everything like that, it's just basically vast majority rules and everything, and that's tyranny too. You know what I'm saying?
And it's like, what kind of tyranny do you want? that's what
I don't want. None.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, so have you known anybody else or heard of people moving out of the United States in order to escape the collapse and what have you? The wealthy elite and blah, 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 they're all moving out. Even James Cameron came down here to New Zealand. It's like somebody asked me once, hey, Vinny, how expensive is farmland down in New Zealand? And I say, let me put it like this. The only two people who have been able to buy farmland, any prominent farmland in New Zealand in the last year have been a Chinese multinational conglomerate and James friggin' Cameron. you know?
That's like also the Chinese and Japan or whatever is all funding all this gas wells, natural gas drilling and everything, and they're funding all this shit, and I just don't understand this. And as far as the newspapers, that's basically the editors around here. They don't like your story. They just throw it out and say you want to do it this way. They want you to do it this way and all that. And is puppets.
See, all you want to do is get the job done and report what's really going on. And then when somebody else comes up and tells you, oh, you're not allowed to say that, or you're not allowed to say that, or I want you to change these words in a specific way, your journalistic freedom doesn't exist. Okay, right. So these journalists out there who are still working for the mainstream media in this exact environment are going along with it. I guess the power, the fame, and the recognition that you get from being a mainstream journalist is enough for them to compromise their morals. It's not enough for me. I don't know. Nobody's offered me enough to compromise my morals as yet. I can't wait until they do. honestly, somebody came up to me from some major network or whatever and offered me $30 million or something. Trust me, I would take the money and I'd report whatever BS they want me to, except I would do with that $30 million what I've been doing here the whole time. Giving activists a platform. So I'd buy a couple of Macs for some people that I know really, really need it and get them out there, help them set up their YouTube channels in the background while I'm spreading all this BS and propaganda and get everybody to frickin' hate me and think that I'm the bad guy, and get the establishment to trust me. Meanwhile, I'm undermining everything that they do with every dollar that they give me, which is why I assume that they'll never offer me really anything. All right. Well, Pioneer.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. And keep up doing the good work.
That's cool, man. And also, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to help me keep up the good work, it's all very well to just say keep up the good work and thank you so much for your encouragement. I feel much better now after the show, just having callers through the whole way. If you want to support me even more, on the other hand, we do desperately need funding to just keep doing what I'm doing, first of all, and also any excess goes on to expansion of this operation. I've gone from doing a YouTube video per week to a couple to like four or five per day because people have been subscribing for $5 a month. And a consistent little donation like that adds up to a lot. It's like the totalitarian tiptoe principle, except it's the Vinny Eastwood funding tiptoe. And I hope you participate in it like a globalist should. See you again sometime, folks.